Today I'm talking about life. It'll be a six-hour talk this morning. No. So Agni Yoga and life. One day my teacher asked his father to talk about his great-grandfather. My teacher was 7 years old. He explained that his father's face became pale, and he entered into a dreamy state. After a period of silence, he said, "May his soul rest in peace." He was an excellent man. One thing that impressed me was that he used to ride horses and speed like an arrow. I will never forget one time when he was 97. One night he jumped on his horse to carry some medicine to a child 50 miles away. He was fearless. His body was not flesh, but energy. Nobody thought he would die. "Well, did he die?" the young boy asked. "Yes, he did." "Well, how?" "Well, one day he said to me, 'I do not need to live in this body. It is too limiting. I need a better horse to fly with.'" The body for him was a horse. Then he continued. He said, "I want to see greater mysteries, which this life does not offer me." And he went to bed for 7 days to sleep, and then passed away. Life. Life is about education and learning. Life on this planet is a school. We've been told that over and over and over again. But during our experiences, we forget the point, right? It's the experience that distracts us from the point. So this is something for us to think about, that the point is education. The experience is an education about life. And the more we learn from these experiences, the more about life we will appreciate and see it from the point of view of an Agni Yogi. So Agni Yoga is a teaching which educates us. It educates our soul, and it gives us direction. And this is what I love so much about Agni Yoga teaching. You know, it's a pretty new, fairly recent teaching, even though it's rooted in thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, Earth time. But spiritual time, it's timeless. And it came to us through the Kala Chakra teaching, through the Lord of Shambhala. And then they had to bring it into manifestation. And they did through the Rourkes, through Helena Rourke and her husband, Nicholas Rourke. So there is a deep history and mystery behind Agni Yoga. All we have to do is to see it and to recognize it. And I was thinking on the way over here how people tell me Agni Yoga is just too complicated. I don't understand it. Well, if you take the words that you read in Agni Yoga, the words that you recognize and understand, and then begin to put them together with the words that you don't recognize and you don't understand, a synergy takes place, or better said, synthesis occurs. And given time with constant study, constant meditation and contemplation, what you don't know and what you do know blend together. And this is the result is a creative phenomenon. So think about that. So Agni Yoga is a teaching which educates the soul and gives us a direction so we can graduate from the earth school and graduate into higher worlds, the far-off worlds. Throughout the Agni Yoga teaching, you will find many instructions on how to graduate with honors. See, all we have to do is look for it. You know, don't be deterred or overwhelmed or daunted by words you don't know. These are words of the master, so there's magic with these words. There's a chemistry, a sacred geometry in the words that we don't know because they carry the energy of the master, of the great teachings. So as we study Agni Yoga and life through Agni Yoga and begin to resonate to the words of the master, we will then be on our way to graduating from the planet, taking off into the higher worlds. This is Agni Yoga. The keynote for graduation into the super mundane life is self-perfectment. Self-perfectment is light. The opposite of self-perfectment is self-indulgent. So we have self-perfectment over here, which is light, and self-indulgence over here, which is involution. It is darkness. Self-indulgence is darkness. Self-perfectment is light. Mankind, in other words, either creates or destroys. So here's a real key point from the teaching. We either create or destroy. And this begins with our thinking process. Is our thinking process destructive or is it creative? The answer will be found in our life, how we live our life, how we see life, how we love life, how we understand life, and how we serve in life. That will be the answer as to whether we are creating or destroying. So we have one or two life direction choices. One choice leads us to a dead end, and that dead end is self-indulgent. Now, I know you think, I'm never self-indulgent. This is not me. Self-indulgent destroys. I'm not self-indulgent. Well, you are. I guarantee you, we all are. That self-indulgence has a lot to do with our past. It has to do with our emotional body. It has to do with wounds that need to be healed. So it's not that we're bad. The bad point, though, is that it's darkness. It's not light. It's not creative. Master M says, a person can build one's life in such a way that each day will, as it were, be the end. So we don't want that. We don't want that. The second choice, which is the choice of self-perfectment, is, of course, the choice of preference, where we can illuminate our life in such a way that each hour will be a beginning. This instruction in Agni Yoga reminds me of the question, is the glass half full or half empty? The first choice of self-indulgence is to build one's life where a person always sees the glass is half empty. Nothing satisfies them. Negative, negative, negative. Right? The second choice is to live life in such a way that the glass is half full. That's the creative life. You either approach your life destructively or negatively, creatively or constructively. As we read the Agni Yoga books, we discover that at the heart of this teaching, there is an emphasis on fire and upon evolution. So when someone tells you that they don't understand Agni Yoga or that it's not religious enough for them, then you know they're only reading the words they understand. They're not the words of the master, because of the heart of the teaching is about fire, which is about creativity. Creativity is about evolution. When we are 1 year old, and now we're 50 years old, do we want to be like we were when we were a year old, playing with our toys? Or at 50, are we living in the world of creative love, creative ideas, understanding what fire means in the fiery world, like the fire, the burning bush, right? We call it life. Life. Fire is life. The fire of space is the source of all life in any form. The ancient writings instruct that fire is creative. Of course, we're not talking about the fire that burns down forests. We're talking about spiritual fire. Creative fire permeates all space. In some teachings, the creative fire is called Kriya Shakti, the all-life-giving divine fire. So when you think about fire, read about fire in Agni Yoga, think about Kriya Shakti. Think about the all-life-giving divine fire. All forms of life. When we draw from the life-giving fire in the universe, we direct our consciousness on the path of self-perfectment. So the path of self-perfectment is evolution. It's not staying the same. It's bettering yourself right until the last minute. It is a flame in our heart which links us with the creative fire in space. So heart and space are linked. The heart of the universe. The same creative fire is located within our own nature, as above, so below. We each have a divine spark. This divine spark is called the seed of life. The fiery seed of life is our spirit. It is indestructible because it is sacred. This is a very important point to remember, that your spirit is sacred and as such is indestructible. No matter what, it is indestructible. However, the radiation of the fiery seed changes depends on the growth of your consciousness. It depends on the growth of your consciousness. It does not depend on staying the same. It does not depend on being like life was 2,000 years ago. It depends on the growth of our consciousness, the expansion of our consciousness. The energy around our fiery seed is consciousness. So this seed is sometimes called the monad, the human soul. The human soul has a purpose, which is perfectment. It is through self-perfectment that our fiery seed is going to evolve. Through self-perfectment. It doesn't mean that we can't have a day off. It's like, you know, I've just decided in August, this August, we're going to take two Sundays off. Vacation time. We're going to have a rest. In that rest, we're not going to deaden our brains, right? Or act stupid. You know, we're going to take advantage of that time to rest and rejuvenate and regenerate so that when the fall comes, we will be more creative, more fiery. So we'll have a couple of Sundays off in August. The purpose of each incarnation is to evolve on the path of self-perfectment. So we must evolve, we must progress, we must advance. As our consciousness expands, our fiery seed will evolve and strive toward infinity. Interesting. The human soul, plus the vehicle with which it is identified, becomes the command post for our soul. How it operates. It is this identification which creates tests and traps for the evolving human soul. It is from this command post that we construct our glamours, our desires, our illusions, our vanities, and build our life in such a way that each day, as it were, will be the end. See, we don't want to live a life that way. Self-indulgence, see. After the soul constructs a glamour, a habit, a vanity, then the soul says, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I've accomplished. This is what I have become. I am that. He becomes the glamour, he becomes the illusion, he becomes the vanity or the habit or prejudices and this and that. But by making a conscious decision to travel the path of self-perfectment and to illuminate life in such a way that each hour will be a beginning, the person creates an environment for their soul to evolve, to strive toward perfection, to strive toward graduation into the super mundane life. And that is the life of an Agni Yogi. How can you go wrong? This is so beautiful. The super mundane world is in the higher strata of the universe. It is also within ourselves. If we know how to contact this level of fire, we are going to feel it within ourselves. All strata of the universe is permeated with fire. The subtle world is a world of fire, divine fire. But this world reflects the earth and is a fire by friction. Fire by friction is okay if we let it help us evolve, to move forward. So fire by friction would be the tests of life, the difficulties of life, the result of stupid choices in life that we have made, create this solar by friction. And if we recognize it and use that fire creatively, see, then we progress. The super mundane is the highest world of creative fire. It is called electric fire. If you want to travel beyond this earthly plane of existence, beyond the school of pain and suffering from tests and trials, we are told that it requires breaking through and transforming the identifications the soul has constructed. It requires disidentification. disidentification from your habits, your old worn-out beliefs and ideologies, from fanaticism and pride and vanity, and your past. I guarantee you, the older you become, it seems like the past is gravitationally pulling you back there to have you think about. First, you begin to think about, oh, this is great when I was a little girl and mommy and daddy were so good to me and I didn't have to earn a living. And then I went to school and I started making friends, and then the friends didn't like me anymore. And then I got married and that didn't work. And oh my God, then I was poor, and then I was wealthy, and then I was this. And pretty soon it's like you are reliving the past, right? That's not disidentification. So don't let that happen. Until this awakening occurs, the soul is going to be trapped, and each day will be, as it were, an end. For the soul loses his freedom by identifying with its not self, with his not self, with his Maya, glamour, and illusion. To graduate to the super mundane world, you must go through what we call solar fire. Solar fire. Solar fire is what? It's defined as the fire of the spiritual hierarchy. To graduate to the super mundane world, we must go through the fire of the spiritual hierarchy. This means you must create an environment where the fiery seed of your soul can make contact with the spiritual hierarchy of this planet. What is the hierarchy? In the biblical sense, the ladder of Jacob symbolizes the hierarchy. Each fiery seed, each human soul is impregnated, imbued by a ray of the hierarchy. Each soul is imbued by a ray of the hierarchy, which then gives us as a soul a knowingness about his life direction. When the soul makes contact with the ray, he will have a yearning to change his life, to find his teacher. He will search for the mountain. The mountain in Agni Yoga is a symbol of the teacher. When we reflect upon the hierarchy, we think of the brotherhood. We think about the Christ and his disciples. Agni Yoga calls the hierarchy the guiding hand. The task of the teacher is to give you indications within those limits which are permitted. He will uplift you, cleanse you of outworn habits. He will warn you against all kinds of treason, superstition, and hypocrisy. He will test you openly and in secret. He may also say farewell, passerby. The teaching says, friends, if you wish to approach us, elect a teacher on earth and place in him your guidance. Each person should have a teacher on earth. When you make a contact with the Christ or Master in your heart, you may remember having a dream where you had attended an interplane classroom, or you may remember being in an ashram. You may recall speaking to someone or listening to a lecture. Such an experience will give you such deep joy. Striving towards self-perfectment, creating an illumined environment for your soul to evolve, and making a contact with the hierarchy and the teaching will give you a fiery inspiration to dedicate yourself in service to all that you meet. Quote, let the greatest among you be the servant of all, said Christ. When we study Agni Yoga, we study life and beauty and culture and creativity. This is what Agni Yoga is all about. It's what Agni Yoga teaches. And Agni Yoga teaches, this is life. It is life, it is beauty, it is culture, it is creativity. We study how to improve on life, how to heal, how to love, and how to build right human relations. Some religious and spiritual teachings prepare us for death, but they don't teach us how to live. Agni Yoga believes in the continuity of life. You could see that with the story that my teacher's father told him about grandfather. Right? Agni Yoga believes in the continuity of life, in the continuing life of the spirit. Grandpa knew he was going on, and he was tired of this life because he'd learned the mysteries, but he wanted more. Agni Yoga teaches us how to release a spirit that is enslaved in its path, how to disidentify from the past. So we are striving to the future toward building a new consciousness, building new viewpoints, building new bodies in which to strive into the future to the supermundane worlds. The Agni Yoga teaching is the teaching of life applied to necessity. It is the teaching of life applied to each necessity. It provides a solution to the daily problems. It does not teach self-indulgence. It inspires us to self-perfectment. When you meet an Agni Yogi, you will know it. This is a person of decision, of commitment, of responsibility, of integrity. You will not meet an Agni Yogi who says, well, maybe yes, maybe no. Or, well, perhaps this, or perhaps it is that, or it could be, or for the time being, this is the, for the time being, this is what I believe. There is no indecisiveness found in an Agni Yogi. When an Agni Yogi says yes, they mean it. When they say no, they really mean no. A person whose soul has become identified with the life of Maya, glamour, and illusion is a person who is indecisive. They will change their mind, saying yes today and then no tomorrow. Such a person has not yet gained control over their personality life, over their lower nature. What's happening is the lower nature is controlling their soul. They have a soul, but it's stuck in that command center. So I have six aspects to give to you, and let me see if I can shorten it, because this is, I'm almost ready to say I'm not even going to give these six aspects. But let me just do an overview, okay? So the first aspect, where let's say each hour will be a beginning, is self-exertion, the aspect of self-exertion, which means that all you do will strive to be real. You know, cut out this senseless acts of stupidity and the immature behavior that often creeps into the life of old people. I don't know why that is, but they're acting younger and younger and younger, and their language is stupid, and I won't go any further. Anyway, where is their spiritual maturity, I ask? Each action we want through self-exertion, we want each action we take to be an action of illumination. Now, the next, I'm skipping over a lot of this so you don't get overwhelmed. The second aspect is the hurry up aspect. So many people in today's society have the burden, the restriction, the concerns of time. Do you know what it's like when you're talking to somebody and they're doing this? It's unnerving. They're not there. They're not with you. They're not present. They hurry here and there, from a waking up and eating a quick bite to running out of the house to get to work on time. They do not have time for creative endeavors or to give quality work to their employer or co-workers. But a hurried labor which leads to sloppiness and failure and extensive financial costs to the company and consumer. As a person striving to live his or her life, we must make right and creative use of our time to inspire others. Nicholas Roark said, "We are asking our friends each day to think, to pronounce, and to apply the understandings of beauty and culture." He said, "We are not dreamers at all, but workers for life. And our apostolate above all is content, in which we are content, in which we are striving to say to the people, remember beauty. Do not exile its image from life, but also actively call others to the feast of joy. In constant labor," he says, "we have no time for agitations. We construct in positive affirmation and realization. We aspire to make the earthly life more sensitive and more beautiful." Okay, let me go to number three. The third aspect of striving towards self-perfectment, embracing a path of illumination for our soul to evolve, will be to overcome the downward pull of our personality nature, the downward pull of the past. For example, let's say you're registered in an evening one-hour class, which meets weekly at 7 in the evening. At 6 o'clock, you say to yourself, "You know, I'm not really feeling very good. I'm tired. I had a really long day. I'd like to go home and just lay on the couch and watch a little TV." Now, someday, today's meetings and classes normally are taking place on Zoom. So what happens, some people, they turn off their webcam, and everybody thinks they're there, but they're not. They're in the other room watching TV. Interesting, huh? If you give in to the manipulation of your lower mind, you will likely email or call a classmate or the teacher and say, "You know, I'd really like to come to class tonight, but I just don't feel well." The command station of your soul tells you, "It is just too much for me tonight to attend class." And you escape. So what is happening? Our habits and glamours and illusions are tricking us and causing us to put up resistances, preventing you from self-perfectment. It is really amazing when recognizing all the excuses our personality nature devises to prevent the fiery seed from daily and each hour striving toward self-perfectment. Our glamour says, I already know all about the subject of the lecture. Or in the case of a group meditation, your glamour says, I already know how to meditate. I don't have to meet with a group this month. Next time I'll attend. But of course, this one time gives away to another and another, and we've engaged in self-indulgence, the dead end. And the day has ended. At times, a student may engage in a task, but finds that the teacher does not recognize them with praise. In reaction, they may in turn fall into self-pity or into self-indulgence. A person can build one's life in such a way that each day will, as it were, be an end. And Agni Yogi, this is right out of the teaching, right straight out of the teaching. It says an Agni Yogi is very careful when their teacher praises them, for if they are being praised, they know that they did not do their best. If the teacher says, it wasn't bad, but you could have done a better job, then you know that your teacher is encouraging your striving on the path of self-perfection. The fourth aspect of the six is joy. The fifth aspect is faith. And the sixth is beauty. So let me share my notes on beauty. As we strive toward perfection, as we strive to purify our life, we will find beauty in the flame of our heart. We cannot see beauty with our brain. Our brain may analyze the beauty in something, but only your heart can recognize true beauty. Beauty inspires us, it uplifts us, and beauty heals. Beauty inspires us to strive toward the supermundane life. When you see a most beautiful and amazing sunset, we don't analyze it, but we feel the rays of the beauty. When we listen to the music of the masters, we don't analyze the music. We try to feel the power of its beauty. There are many wondrous experiences in life awaiting us as souls. We must strive to find the path of self-perfectment and then dedicate ourselves to that path. We must find a way to release our fiery seed from its prison and help it to advance and to evolve. So let us strive on the path of life, with each hour being a new beginning. So may it be.